The scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyrus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of them became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for an entire year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was Agabus, who stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world. And this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, believers living in Judea, this they did, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Joe, God bless you as you share with us.
Okay, very good. Greet everybody here in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's the way we would start most services in South Africa. I would say something like "Diani Bolisa Egameni Lika Jesu Christu," which means I'm greeting you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I would also often start by singing a song. People typically, before they speak, they come to the front and they accompany themselves with singing. Maybe we could. Do you all know "Sia Hamba"? Do you know that song? "We're marching in the light of God." Could we try that together? All right. "Sia Hamba kuken yen kwenkos. Sia 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 Hamba, Sia Hamba, oh, Sia Hamba kuken yen kwenkos. Sia Hamba, Sia Hamba, oh, Sia Hamba kuken yen kwenkos. We are marching. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching. Oh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching. We are marching in the light of God. Amen. Thank you. This text today, Acts 11, 19 through 30, has recently become a favorite of mine. I think it illustrates some points about mission, which I define as ministry in the dimension of difference. Or in other words, whenever we as Christian people cross a barrier that separates us from others, whether it be geography or culture or religion or class or status, if we cross those barriers in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ or to be the good news of Jesus Christ, we are doing mission. Ministry is something that we're doing even now. It's a broader category, but mission is a particular kind of ministry that goes across the barriers of difference. And this is a text about ministry in the dimension of difference. And the story unfolds around a certain place called Antioch, which was in the ancient Roman Empire. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was located just 15 miles inland or so from the Mediterranean Sea on the Orontes River in the Roman province of Syria. I believe it's in modern-day Turkey today, right near the Syria border. And it was a major center of Hellenistic Greek culture. And there was a large Jewish population also there in Antioch, even though the Jewish heartland was, of course, in Israel-Palestine, centered around Jerusalem and the worship at its temple. But the text today starts there, in Jerusalem, with this mention that after the persecution that took place over Stephen. Stephen's story comes in chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen was one of the first seven deacons of the early church. And he was, of course, stoned to death for his testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then there was a great persecution that took place over the stoning of Stephen, and the church was scattered from Jerusalem to Samaria and beyond. And this text is about that beyond. So those who were scattered from Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And it says that they spoke the word to no one except their fellow Jews. So these were Jewish believers in Jesus, claiming that this Jesus of Nazareth was their Christ, their Messiah, their deliverer, their Savior, the one the prophets had foretold and for whom the Jewish people had been waiting, who would bring deliverance from their foreign oppressors, the Romans and the Greeks and the Babylonians and the Persians going back through history. So when these Jewish believers, these messianic Jewish believers, when they were scattered, they spoke the word about Jesus only to their fellow Jews who were distributed throughout the Roman Empire. But, it says, among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Cyrene would be in modern-day Libya, so this would have been some African men. Some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, when they came to Antioch, they spoke also to the Greeks or to the Hellenists, and they proclaimed that Jesus the Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, was actually also the Lord of the Greeks. The Greeks would refer to the divinities of their various religious cults as lords. And so when these Jewish believers go to Antioch and they dare to speak to Greeks who are not Jews or Gentiles, they say that Jesus is also good news for the Greeks. He is also a Lord. Not only Christ in a Jewish context, but Lord in a Gentile context. And then the text says, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number of these Greeks became believers in this Jewish Messiah. They claimed this Jewish Messiah as their Lord, as their Savior. And so this is the first movement in the text toward Antioch. And the critical activity in this movement from Jewish to Gentile territory is the act of proclamation, the act of proclaiming that Jesus is good news for the nations. And God blessed this act of proclamation by growing a body of believers there who put their trust in Jesus as their Lord. So there's a movement and there's proclamation and there's growth. Now there's a second movement that takes place in this text. And that is that somehow word about what these people from Cyprus and Cyrene had done reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, the Jewish body of believers. And so they did something. They sent a man named Barnabas to Antioch. And why did they send Barnabas? They probably sent Barnabas because Barnabas himself was a Cypriot, or he was from the island of Cyprus. And some of these people who spoke the word to the Gentiles, we hear in the text that they're from Cyprus. So they send one of the Cyprus brethren, Barnabas, to go check on the work of these other people from Cyprus. And at this time, the church in Jerusalem is still not totally resolved to the fact that the good news is for the Greeks. They still think it's something that should be kept within the Jewish fold. And so maybe they're sending Barnabas to check on this thing that's happened in Antioch. Is Barnabas going to go there and bless what he finds there, this ministry in the dimension of difference? Or will Barnabas perhaps, will he curse this thing? Will he put an end to it? So they send Barnabas to check on it. And on coming to Antioch, the text says, Barnabas, he beheld or he saw the grace of God among these Gentile people. And it said that Barnabas, his response was rejoicing. And it says that he was, in a way, he was able to rejoice. And he was able to behold the grace of God. It says because he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So the faith and the spirit that was living in Barnabas was the lens through which he was able to see and behold the grace of God living in other people. It was that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ living in Barnabas, that enabled him to recognize the grace of God in others, even though some of the people from the Jewish heartland might not have expected to find the grace of God there. But Barnabas had the Holy Spirit and could see the grace of God. And then Barnabas, aside from rejoicing, he does something that's very important. It says that he encouraged those believers. He emboldened them. Something about his presence empowered them to remain faithful to Jesus as Lord with undivided hearts, with full devotion. And the text says, as a result of that encouragement now, again, a great many people were brought to the Lord. So there is a second act of growth now. So if you can remember, in the first movement toward Antioch, across the dimension of difference, there is proclamation and there is growth. In the second movement now, toward Antioch, there is encouragement of the work that others have begun, and then there is growth. So those are the first two movements. Now, the third movement begins. There's a third movement now. When Barnabas looks around at this growing church in Antioch, made up of Jews and Gentiles, and he realizes that he cannot shepherd this flock on his own. And Barnabas seems not to be a proud person. He seems not to be somebody who needs the glory for himself or is jealous about his position. So Barnabas goes off to a city called Tarsus, and he looks for his friend Saul, whom we know as Paul, because he knows that Paul is a gifted teacher. And to respond to the growing need of this growing church to be further trained in the ways of the Lord Jesus, Barnabas goes to Tarsus and he finds Paul and he leads Paul with him to Antioch. And then it says that for an entire year in Antioch, Barnabas and Saul were guests of that church. They were with the church and they were teaching the believers there for an entire year. It says they taught a great many people. And it says that it was in Antioch for the first time in all of Christian history that the disciples were first called Christians, which refers to the fact that this body of people in Antioch were Jew and Gentiles who had put their faith in the Lord Jesus, so that now they were neither just strictly Jew nor strictly Gentile, but they were a Jewish-Gentile body of the Messiah. And therefore, they needed a new name to contain that reality, and that new name was Christian. So Christian, as a title in its origins, means an intercultural identity. If we are in Christ, we have no choice but to look across the barriers of culture and see the grace of God living among other people. Christian means intercultural in the spirit of Christ. So these believers needed a new name, Christian. And it was first in Antioch that they got that name. And so there was a growth also in this third movement, a growth of a common identity. In the third movement, there is teaching, and then there is growth. A movement of proclamation and growth, a movement of encouragement and growth, a movement of teaching and growth in common identity. And finally, and this is where I'm going to leave you this morning, there's a fourth movement in the text. And that is that this Antioch church, which was born as a mission church, people were sent to it. Now this Antioch church becomes a missionary church. It becomes itself ascending church. So that in the last part of this text, we read that a prophet named Agabus came up from Jerusalem to Antioch, and he prophesied that there would be a famine over the entire Roman world. And this famine was really affecting the sending people in Jerusalem. And so the believers in Antioch determined that they would send relief to their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, and they would send that relief through Barnabas and Saul. who went to Jerusalem and carried physical signs of their love to the church in Jerusalem. So this mission church became a missionary church. This church that was sent to became a sending church. And not only that, but their witness spilled not just back to Jerusalem, but it went throughout the Roman world. Because in chapter 13, it's the Antioch church that sends Barnabas and Saul as missionaries throughout the Roman world to proclaim and to encourage and teach the good news about Jesus to more and more Greeks and Jews and people from all nations and languages and cultures who were needing the good news of Jesus Christ in their life. So Antioch, the mission church, becomes a missionary church. The church that was sent to becomes a sending church with blessings back to the original givers and throughout the world to everyone. So mission, my friends, done in the Spirit of Christ through proclamation, through encouragement, through presence, through teaching, it leads to growth and it breeds mission that resounds throughout the world so that the good news of Jesus Christ may be known and the love of Christ may be shared across cultures. In Jesus' name, I offer you these words this morning to his honor and glory. Amen.